This morning we have two readings. The first reading is from Ezekiel 17, and then we'll be moving on to Mark chapter 4. We'll start with Ezekiel 17, verses 16 to 24, and that can be found on page 852 if you're using a church Bible. So Ezekiel chapter 17. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely in the place where the king dwells who made him king, whose oath he despised, and whose covenant with him he broke, in Babylon he shall die. Pharaoh with his mighty army and the great company will not help him in war, when mounds are cast up and siege walls built to cut off many lives. He despised the oath in breaking the covenant, and behold, he gave his hand and did all these things. He shall not escape. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, as I live, surely it is my oath that he despised, and my covenant that he broke. I will return it upon his head. I will spread my net over him, and he shall be taken in my snare, and I will bring him to Babylon and enter into judgment with him there for the treachery he has committed against me. And all the pick of his troops shall fall by the sword, and the survivors shall be scattered to every wind. And you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken. Thus says the Lord God, I myself will take a sprig from the lofty top of the cedar and will set it out. I will break off from the topmost of its young twigs a tender one, and I myself will plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain height of Israel will I plant it, that it may bear branches and produce fruit and become a noble cedar. And under it will dwell every kind of bird. In the shade of its branches, birds of every sort will nest. And all the trees of the field shall know that I am the Lord. I bring low the high tree and make high the low tree, dry up the green tree and make the dry tree flourish. I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it. Now we move into Mark's Gospel. So Mark chapter 4, starting at verse 21 to verse 34. And that's on page 1012 in the church Bibles. So Mark 4, starting at verse 21. And he said to them, is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And he said, The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, and then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts it to the sickle, because the harvest has come. And he said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? 'Tis like a grain of mustard seed, which, when sown on the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet, when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately, to his own disciples, he explained everything. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. It's lovely to see you. My name is Brian, for those who haven't met me, and I'm one of the ministry trainees here at St. John's. Let me pray as we begin. Our Father in heaven, thank you that your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Please guide our steps through the teaching of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Why should we keep going with word ministry when it seems so unimpressive? Each week, the preacher spends several hours preparing the sermon. Growth group leaders devote a significant chunk of time preparing their studies, not to mention the hard work of the seniors fellowship, youth group, and Sunday school leaders. A huge amount of time and effort is invested in word ministry. And if you're someone who comes to church twice every Sunday, then you will have spent around 52 hours listening to sermons throughout the year. That's more than two whole days. Is it worth it? Each week, the sermon is given, the Bible study takes place, and the Sunday school class goes ahead. People go home afterwards. They have lunch, they watch TV, they get on with life. There doesn't seem to have been any dramatic transformation. Unlike in Mark's gospel, there have been no healings or casting out of demons, just the plain teaching of God's word. Observation, interpretation, followed by application. The preacher may have included one or two interesting stories, but nothing substantial seems to have happened between stepping through the church doors and stepping back out into the world again. Just the speaking of some words. Is it worth putting all this effort into the teaching of God's word? Could the time be better spent doing other things? For example, should we consider redeploying our Bible teachers, growth group leaders, Sunday school teachers to more immediately impactful ministries? Many churches are involved with social action. Some host the homeless. Others run healing workshops or debt advice centers. Their impact seems so much more immediate and tangible. People can get help straight away. Their lives improve significantly as a result. Why do we here at St. John's insist on prioritizing word ministry and make it the heart of everything we do? Well, we come to our first point, because it rewards those who pay attention. You can follow along on your handouts. So reason one, we should carry on with word ministry because it rewards those who pay attention. Look down with me to verse 21. Jesus said to them, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." So Jesus is talking about the accessibility of his teaching. The lamp is referring to Jesus' teaching. Specifically, it is about the teaching. It is his teaching on the kingdom of God. That is what Jesus has been talking about in chapter 4 so far. Chapter 4, verse 11, "And he said to them, 'To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God.'" And Jesus will go on to teach about the kingdom of God in the rest of chapter 4 as well. I've got a lamp here with me. Now, it makes sense to put this lamp on a stand rather than under a basket or under a bed, because the purpose of this lamp is to light up the room. If it's hidden under a basket or under a bed, it won't be fulfilling its purpose. And so Jesus' teaching on the kingdom of God is like this lamp. It is meant to be public knowledge. It's not meant to be restricted to an exclusive elite. Yes, we learned last week, this passage today, that Jesus taught in parables to stop the Pharisees from gaining understanding. But Mark has recorded Jesus' explanation to these parables in his gospel. And we know that Jesus explained the parables to his disciples, and this explanation is now available to us, the readers of Mark's gospel. So this means that Jesus' teaching is now accessible to everyone. Anyone who reads Mark chapter 4 can now understand the meaning of these parables. And verse 22 confirms this for us. It says this, "For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light." So in other words, the hidden truths of Jesus' teaching have now been disclosed. They've been made public. The secret of the kingdom of God has now come to light. So as we read Mark's gospel, we too can gain access to the secrets of the kingdom of God. We too can receive revelation of divine mysteries. So encouraging, isn't it? Well, with this in mind, how then should we respond to Jesus' teaching? Well, Jesus tells his disciples in verse 24, "And he said to them, 'Pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you.'" So the right response is to pay attention to Jesus' words. Well, what does paying attention actually mean? Well, Jesus actually tells us in verse 20. They hear the word and accept it. So paying attention means listening to Jesus' words, accepting it, and obeying it. Submitting to his teaching, living our lives in line with what Jesus says. And what's the point about the measure? Well, it's this. The more carefully we listen, the more understanding we will receive. Back in Jesus' day, people used to bring a measure to the marketplace to buy wheat. The seller would then fill the measure with wheat in exchange for some money. And I've got two measuring cups here. There is a small one and a big one. Now, if we come with the small cup to Jesus' words, well, we will receive a small cup full of understanding. But if we come with the big cup, with eagerness to learn and to listen, then we will receive a big cup full of understanding. And verse 25 reinforces this point. It is both an encouragement and a warning. For those who persist in listening well, they will be rewarded with more knowledge. But for those who hear Jesus' words and ignore it, they might as well have never heard it in the first place. This means that studying God's word is really worthwhile. It is the opposite of being pointless and a waste of time. Because the more we spend time dwelling on God's word, the more we will get out of it. If we obey what we hear, we will be given even more understanding. For those of us in the congregation who are responsible for teaching the word, whether that's here in the pulpit or in small groups or in one-to-one Bible studies, let's make sure that we ourselves are good hearers before we are good teachers. The more we understand a Bible passage ourselves, the better we'll be able to teach it to others. And so let's work hard at each passage that we have been assigned to teach. Let's apply it to our own lives first before we teach it to others. All the while trusting that the Lord Jesus will reward those who pay attention to his words. And for all of us, well, let's come to God's word with big measures and ask him to fill them up with understanding. We can expect God to teach us something every time we come to his word. It may be something new, or it may be something that we need to be reminded of. Let's come to church and to our midweek Bible studies with an eagerness to hear from God and to apply what we hear. And of course, there are some practical things that we can do to help us come with big measures. For example, before coming to church, we can read the Bible passage in advance. And the same can be done before the Bible study as well, during the week. And I know that our small group leaders often send us some questions to think about before the midweek Bible study. So why not use them? Have a think. You know, what does the passage mean, and how does it apply to us? What have we been struck by? Doing a bit of prep will almost certainly help us get more out of the Sunday sermon and the Bible study. I know that one member of this congregation spends about an hour preparing for the Sunday sermon. Well, what does Jesus promise him? He says, "For to the one who has, more will be given." And so to summarize this section, why should we carry on with word ministry? Well, because it rewards those who pay attention. A second reason why we should carry on with word ministry is because it ripens supernaturally. Look down with me to verse 26. And Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows, he knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." Okay, so let's unpack this parable together. The seed is talking about the word of God. The farmer is someone who scatters the word of God. So someone like a preacher or a Bible study leader, or even just, you know, one of us as we open up God's word with another person. The harvest is referring to people becoming Christians as well as Christians growing in maturity. Now, did you spot that the farmer only does one thing? That one thing is that he scatters seed on the ground. That's it. He then just gets on with life. He goes to bed, and then he wakes up the next morning. And then the same thing happens all over again. Meanwhile, the seed just keeps on growing by itself. First comes the initial sprouting, and that's the blade. And then the next stage, the ear shows up. And then finally, the full grain. All the farmer needs to do is to take his sickle out to the field and harvest the grain. The grain has just done all the growing by itself. And so the point of the parable is this: the word of God supernaturally grows its hearers and turns them into mature Christians over time. Now, I joined St. John's Church in September, 2 months ago. I've been so encouraged by the many mature believers in the church family who I've come across. And this passage has helped me to realize that there is a reason for this. It's because St. John's has had faithful Bible teaching over many years. In fact, over several decades, as I've learnt, with Giles and Dick in the past, and now with Tom and Stephen and the rest of the preaching team, or perhaps I should say the farming team. And I haven't even mentioned the countless growth groups and one-to-one Bible studies. Most of the leaders in Rock Solid, that's the youth group for teenagers in years 8 to 10, were themselves members of the same youth group when they were teenagers. And I know that you guys heard the word, grew up spiritually, and then became mature believers. Years later, you are now scattering the seeds of God's word to a new crop of teenagers, pardon the pun. Teenagers, our prayer for you is that you would hear the word, believe in it, and grow in maturity. Okay, let's take some time to zoom out. Let's have a look, think about the big picture. When we look at churches in the Western world, why is it that most mainline denominations are in decline? And then conversely, why are evangelical churches growing? Well, sociologists have come up with all sorts of different reasons, but today's passage gives us a simple answer. The mainline churches are in decline because most of them have stopped teaching the word of God. And on the other hand, evangelical churches that insist on teaching God's word are growing, both in numbers and in maturity. Tom and I had the privilege of attending the Renew conference back in September. It was so encouraging to hear reports of people being saved and churches being planted all over the country. Well, how did this happen? Well, through the faithful, persistent teaching of the word of God. And so let's not give up on word ministry, because it works. Teaching the Bible may not have an immediate impact on people, but it is the means by which God will produce an abundant harvest over time. One of my favorite moments during the week is on Wednesday mornings. As I walk around the church center, in almost every room, there is a women's group studying the Bible together. It appears it's so unimpressive in the world's eyes, but Jesus has shown us today that this is the most significant thing that they could be doing. As the women read and discuss the passage, God is at work powerfully and supernaturally in each one of these women. He is opening their spiritual eyes, growing them in understanding and in godliness. And so please keep going with these studies, and not just the women, but the men as well. Please don't stop. This is how we will grow in spiritual maturity, through the studying of the Word of God. The third reason why we should carry on with word ministry is because it will result in the vast expansion of God's kingdom. Let me read the final parable again, verse 30. And Jesus said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." I've got a bag of seeds here. Now the seeds are tiny. You can hardly see them. But the mustard seed is the smallest of all seeds. Jesus is saying that when you sow the mustard seed in the ground, it will just keep growing and growing and growing. And it will end up being a tree that is bigger than all the other trees in the garden. In fact, it will become so big that even birds will be able to rest on its branches. The seed is talking about the word of God, and the tree is the kingdom of God. So in other words, the word of God causes the kingdom of God to expand enormously, disproportionately, so much so that people from all over the world will enter into God's kingdom. Just think back to Mark chapter 4. How many disciples did Jesus have? Well, just the 12. But the kingdom of God has grown massively since then. Read the book of Acts. Within 50 years of Jesus' return to heaven, the kingdom of God has expanded from Jerusalem to Judea, to Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And then look at church history. It also shows us the massive global expansion, or explosion even, of the church. I was at an exhibition in the British Museum yesterday. It was on the theme of the Silk Road. One of my highlights was a large stone tablet that records the arrival of Christianity in China in the 7th century AD. So the gospel actually made significant progress in ancient China. Many people were converted. And another highlight from the exhibition was two Ethiopian coins from the 4th century. On the first coin, the Ethiopian king had made a declaration that he was the son of a pagan god, but then the king was converted. He became a Christian. And so on the second coin, which was made after the first coin, the king declared himself not as the son of a god, but as the servant of Christ. And to this day, Ethiopia is still a majority Christian country. And 2,000 years since Mark 4, the kingdom of God now includes millions of people all over the world. The fact that there are believers from sitting amongst us today from all over the world is testament to the truth of Jesus' words. We have Christians right here from Hong Kong, Italy, Nigeria, South Africa, Uganda, Ukraine, the United States, and Zimbabwe, and I'm sure I've missed out some other countries as well. The kingdom of God has expanded enormously. One of my favorite books is Operation World. It has information on the Christian church in every single country in the world. And it's so encouraging that there are Christians in literally in every single country, even in North Korea and in Afghanistan. Yes, even in the most unlikely places in the world, the gospel is bearing fruit. People are becoming Christians and churches are being planted. And it's a privilege to be able to support a number of mission partners here at St. John's. There's a map with information about them in the church center. And they're based in different parts of the world, such as in Africa, East Asia, and Central Asia. I think we have some of them here with us today. They will all have different stories to share about the growth of God's kingdom. And I know that on Wednesday at the prayer meeting, one of them will be sharing some stories about what God is doing. So why not come along to the prayer meeting on Wednesday and find out more about how God is at work in different parts of the world? We here in the UK, we may not feel like the church is growing much, but we do have evidence of growth right here at St. John's. A few weeks ago, 7 people were baptized. And last week, in the evening service, another 7 people were confirmed. And these were men and women, young people and older people. Some grew up in Christian homes, others did not. One person even came to faith through his children. The kingdom of God is growing right here in Tunbridge Wells through the proclamation of the word. We can be confident of that. And so as we close, brothers and sisters, let's keep going with word ministry, even when it feels unimpressive, even when it doesn't feel like it's making a significant and immediate impact. Let's keep the proclamation of God's word at the heart of everything we do here at St. John's. Let's work hard on our talks and our Bible studies, because word ministry will result in the vast expansion of God's kingdom. We see this in the book of Acts, we see this in church history, and we see it right now in front of our eyes as people are being saved here in Tunbridge Wells, as well as all over the world. Let's be confident that the Lord will keep working through his word to grow his kingdom beyond our imagination. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much that your word is now accessible to us. Thank you that Jesus has made it plain to us what the meaning of these parables are. So please help us to come with big measures, to come with an eagerness to learn from his words and to grow in maturity. And thank you as well that your word is powerful. And so as we study it together, please would you grow us in godliness, in maturity, help us to bear fruit. In Jesus' name, amen.